it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all should see Noel back here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. It's the seventh day of September, but more importantly, it is the first Sunday of NFL football in America. 2025 season really gets going today, and we are your opening act. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And heading into this 7 o'clock hour, shout out to all you football fans in Jonesboro.
All right, now.
Down there by Clayton State College and all them other places down there where I used to go to Jonesboro.
Okay.
And we did that coming back. Noel threw all know. I think that's the first time Barry Manilow's appeared on Sam and Greg. I really do. Hey,
that's okay.
Dick Clark took a page from, actually, I think it was the other way around, but Don Cornelius took a page from Dick Clark after he made a move today, left Philadelphia and moved American Bandstand to California.
Mm-hmm.
And not long after, Don Cornelius left Chicago, took Soul Train out to California. Now every massive production and big-time show business thing is leaving California and going to other cities.
Yep, yep.
But, yes, I do that on there for you. Karen Pestana, Tennis Panorama, will be joining us, getting us set for men's final of U.S. Open, talking about women's final from yesterday, and Sabalenka got the victory. Man, I got to talk about that second set of hers because she just let it go. I was watching it. I was ready for Karen today. Anyway, and also we're going to give you it's kind of an overview of some job opportunities out there, but there is money flying through the air. Despite it being slow around here, I am always going to let y'all know about stuff that's happening, and Noella's got some things running through her head. But top of the second hour. Oh, you know what else on this day it happened?
On this day.
You know, you think about this once in a while, and you wonder where the first day was. Uncle Sam was first used today.
Made his
September
debut.
September 7th, the phrase Uncle Sam was used to describe America. Life in America, whatever it is. He's the one running this. It was in the what's called the Troy Post in New York. So this is the first time it showed up, and that was 1813. 1813 is when folks started calling us or using Uncle Sam to describe us. So I want to throw that insignificant information out there. And on this Sunday, as we get ready for the first Sunday of the NFL, today was the day the Pro Football Hall of Fame opened.
Ah,
in Canton.
In Canton, Ohio.
Opened up. Guess what year? The Pro Football Hall of Fame opened up. Actually, and I was kind of surprised, but then I wasn't surprised. It has been, well, I'm not going to give you any more hints. I'll just say if you could take a guess.
It was in the 70s.
Nah.
Nope.
Nah.
60s?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was in the 70s.
It was 1963.
Okay.
That happened, and that was also the same year that Bandstand left California. I mean, left Philly and went to California. Anyway, man, I know there's some other stuff other than just local sports.
We'll talk some college football because we didn't get a chance to. And you know, everybody wanted to know what yesterday, the week after the big week with all the big matchups, kind of business as usual around here with Georgia getting that win, went 28-6 over Austin Peay, the governor's, excuse me, governor, Gunnar Stockton. a good day, 26-34, 227 yards. You know, somebody was saying, you don't hear anybody talking about Georgia's national championship.
Nope.
Because of who they played so far. You know, and I think some of the other teams, you know, started out with some nationally ranked opponents and whatnot and got more attention. It'll get there for Georgia. It will get there for them. But they handle their business at home. You know, they throw for 231. They rush for 190. And they take care of business against the team they're supposed to take business against. They did what they're supposed to do.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, man.
Do you think in quiet moments that Kirby loves this? That first of all, he hasn't had it in a while. When's the last time that Kirby and Georgia flew under the radar? Was that, oh, yeah, I forgot about them kind of team?
Yeah.
It's been a minute. He worked so hard getting them to where it was, you know, neck and neck with Saban and all those other – and now – especially given what he's been through personally the last year and the changes going on. His old quarterback's down there in Miami. And so I think he's enjoying this.
Well, he enjoys it until next week because things get because things get okay. busy. Things get real. And, you know, after this, you got Tennessee and Alabama.
I know, but I'm just saying, you kind of put a stop on it.
You're right. We know. So, I mean, he's kind of easing his way into it. He's in the SEC. He's going to face that kind of competition. He knows what's out there, what's coming up. But, you know, some teams last week started the season off, you know, with the big powerhouses, the big-time matchups. Georgia didn't do that. They're easing into it with their schedule this year. It's still a tough schedule. They still got to play Alabama. They still got to play Texas. They still got folks like that on their schedule that are out there with them.
Here's my question.
Yep.
Are you as confident putting the mortgage payment down on the traditional powerhouses as we sit here in the transfer portal era?
Well, no, we saw some of that yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. We don't know what we're going to see. You can say it's the SEC, but is Tennessee going to be Tennessee? Is Texas going to be Texas? We saw, you know, the chosen one struggling that first game. Now he got back and got a win yesterday.
But you know what was happening that first week? And the first week is so unfair in this way. You got no film to study.
No.
Because any game film from last season is obsolete. Them dudes are gone. So, I mean, for him, that was nothing. Plus, Ohio State threw in an NFL defensive coordinator. So, I mean, yeah, he's looking across the line at nothing he's seen before. Now, you do that to Joe Montana and Bill Walsh, by the middle of the second quarter, they're going to figure it out. But Sark and Arch ain't Joe Montana.
See, I'm not giving him that pass because Sark has been there before.
No, but they ain't seen this before.
They've seen the unexpected before. That's what I'm saying.
Unexpected, but that's just you don't plan for it, though. Your first game, that's one thing you don't get in first games now in college. You can't say this is what they run.
No, you're right.
Last season, you can't do that
No,
anymore.
You can't do that. But you can give them the knowledge of knowing that it may not look like what you think. All we can do is what we can do. I guess what I'm asking is, I'm not saying they should have done this, but I'm asking, is it out of the realm of possibility that these coaches going into this season, as you said, no film, this is what they used to do, maybe do it differently right now. They went after these types of players. They had this kind of defense. They had this sort of running game. Whatever it is that's different, you prepare your guys to be like Marines. They adapt and adjust. I absolutely believe that Nick Saban did know everything about his opponent going into each game, but he knew how to adjust.
Until they played Clemson that time in the national championship.
Okay. Yeah. Obviously, one game.
Obviously they were seeing something they weren't prepared
for.
So that can't happen. So to me, everybody wants to jump on Arch Manning. I give him that.
I don't want to jump on him. I'm just asking if moving forward, though.
And last week, now yesterday was different. He's playing San Jose State. So it's a whole different matter. So, I mean, Georgia does what they have to do yesterday. Georgia Tech, they handle their business as well and get a big win at home. So, I mean, that's what you want to see from those teams. Obviously, they got big tests that are coming up, you know, for them. With Tennessee coming in, they got to reestablish the quarterback because their quarterback checked out and went to UCLA, and he lost to UNLV last night. Dan Mullen is out at UNLV. He's got UNLV playing good football. They beat UCLA last night. South Florida gets the win over Florida in an upset, you know, which is big in the state of Florida, you know, to have a team from what we want to call a group of five or whatever beat Florida or Florida State down there or Miami. That's a big deal in that state. People talk about why those teams can't get the traction that they used to get, being Florida State, Florida, and Miami, because you got more Division I programs in that state than you used to have. You know, you got others. You got Florida Atlantic. You got Central Florida. You got Florida International. You got South Florida. And these are pulling the guys that used to be that second, third string guy in Miami, Florida, and Florida State. So that's very hard. So that game, that win last night by Florida, South Florida, is a big one. Also, they're parading goalposts, and who knows where the goalposts ended up in Starkville last night. Where do you take a goalpost in Starkville, Mississippi?
You chop it up.
We don't know where that thing is.
You chop it up.
We don't know where, but anyway, Mississippi State got the win over Arizona State last night, and there was a goalpost floating through the streets of Starkville.
Take it through a garage, you chop it up there.
Don't see that happen too much. Got some other scores to run down.
Did you see what Ohio State did at Grambling?
Yeah.
I mean, just what's the point?
But here's the thing. Here's the thing.
That's why people don't like Ryan Day.
Well, no, I mean, you're gonna do that. You're going to get the check. Everybody got – yesterday was payday for a lot of teams that play in the FCS or 1AA level. And so the thing of it, do you go and get the check or don't you? Now, a lot of people say, why do HBCUs go and get that? Because if they don't go get that check, Furman will go get that check.
Yeah.
You know, Wofford will go get that check.
Austin Peay.
They'll go get that. So, yeah. So I'm just saying, you know, why do they have to go? They go. It's a chance to get there, go, mm-hmm. and a chance to have an experience. The biggest thing that happened yesterday, they put the Grambling Band and Ohio State Band on the field together, which was like an amazing thing to see, right?
Yeah.
That was worth your ticket price to go and see that for that particular game. Let me run down some other scores before Noel throws something at us here. I'm over at Pete's place last night, and Georgia State came out looking good. Offense was moving, and in the second half, Memphis, they did their best Dean Smith imitation. They got the lead, they got the ball, and took all the air out of the ball. I think Memphis had the ball for the entire third quarter, and they ended up winning that game 38-16, final score in that one. Southern Cal's two of the West Coast ends. They lost to Fresno State last week. They lost to Southern Cal last night 59-20. The alma mater, though. The alma mater.
Got his hand on it.
Noel. Our folks are off to a 2-0 start. West Georgia was a winner at Nichols. Nice ride back from Thibodaux, Louisiana. 34-10, final score in that one. Valdosta State falls to Johnson C. Smith. Boys from CIAA get them 28-16. Clark Atlanta gets the win 17-12 over Florida Memorial in their home opener. That Red Field is still doing the magic over there in the AU Center. Albany State 49-21 winners over Kentucky State. Savannah State 13-0 winner over Shorter. Berry 58, Huntington 28. LaGrange 36-14 winners over Point, and Reinhardt falls to Cumberland 30-18. Tuskegee, I mentioned them because they got lights at Tuskegee, and they played their first nighttime game last night. They beat Central State, the Fighting Hugh Douglases, 33-0. Norfolk State 34, Virginia State 41. Congratulations, Coach Michael Vick, getting his first win. Dell State over UAlbany. Congratulate DeSean Jackson with his first win with Delaware State. They get the win over UAlbany. They are the Danes, as in the Fighting Scooby-Doos. And they fall to – I say that because I have a cousin that played volleyball at Albany U. So I would say, y'all the Scooby-Doos.
Are you looking forward to September 30th when you can turn on the TV and see – hallowed ground that you have walked on?
Hallowed ground.
Chad Powers premieres.
Yes.
And Chad Powers is the TV show with Glenn Powell that they shot all over there. When you said Pete's Place, I was like, hey, let me get this date here. And it's going to premiere the 30th.
Yeah. They shot that thing over there. Well, they shot some parts over in Athens, too.
But you'll really recognize things. Yeah. See, this will be the first time I can say, Sam, I remember that. I was over there.
And you're going to see a team called the Catfish.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and remember where that was shot, here in town.
All right. We ready for Karen? Let us know what's going on up there in New York.
You think she'll have a honey deuce for us?
I don't know.
We'll ask if she has a honey deuce for us.
I don't know, but she knows who I'm picking today. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why
people
it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Sam and Greg on a Sunday morning, 7th day of September. We are the opening act for NFL Sunday. That's all you got to say, right? The first NFL Sunday.
A game day Sunday. You all right, man?
Finally! I've been waiting for him.
Where did he go? But what'd you do, man? What's wrong? You okay over
there?
Thank you. What did you do?
I've been waiting. Man, why you make everybody wait? Why you make everybody wait?
Oh, man.
You like...
It'll be here. There we go.
I've been waiting for years to hear you say that again. It's like when Michael came back and sang with his brothers. You hearing you say that, it's just, thank you, Sam. I feel better.
We got that.
Gloria Gaynor.
Yeah.
This is her birthday.
Ah.
So Noel threw on some I Will Survive. And it works perfect for what you were talking earlier about with Naomi Osaka.
Yeah.
Could be her little thing. She could have that in the car going.
Well, that and Taylor Townsend. I mean, you have a number of players with the backstories, you know, that could sing that song.
But Naomi's had her played out in public.
True.
And so, you know, That warts right there in front of us. And so that song, I think, is really apropos. Now, it really will apply when she gets that. Either the big serving plate or the other piece of hardware they give at the end of Fortnite.
Yep.
But, listen, everybody's rooting for her.
Well, and also Amanda Anisimova, who made it to our second straight major final. She made it to the final at Wimbledon, made it to the final at the U.S. Open. She has had some things to overcome as well. So, I mean, some of the backstories of the players this year at the U.S. Open have been intriguing and very inspirational when you think about it from that perspective.
In case you're wondering, we are still working on getting in touch with Karen Pestana, Tennis Panorama, our cousin from up in New York there. I'm going to tell you something. Yesterday's winner left me with mixed emotions.
Okay.
Now, you as a tennis aficionado as opposed to me, we have Karen? Well, I'll welcome Karen on, and I'll say what I was going to say with her joining us. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I was Sam and I were filling, as we knew they were. Noel was trying to get in touch with you. And I was saying to Sam that I had mixed emotions with yesterday's winner of the women's final, with Sabalenka winning. First of all, I had a problem. She should have closed that thing out in the second set. She was up 5-3, and then she let – how do you say her name?
Anisimova.
Come back, right? She did. She had her down 5-3, and then she started trying to get cute, and she came back and won it. But I still got a little sour taste in my mouth about how she, treated Coco. And Coco won the French. Should I get past that?
Yeah, man.
All right.
Yeah, I get past it. They have. You didn't see them do their little TikTok dance together, maybe a week later or whatever it was?
You know how unreasonable fans can be, and that's where I'm at right now. If you tell me to get over, I'll get over it. But as a fan, I was still holding on to that. But anyway, Karen, good morning.
Good morning.
Where do we start? But we ain't going to get into the men's final just yet. Where do we start in talking about this past week and the events of that played out in front of us? Who's there? Who's not there? We talked about Naomi Osaka earlier. I gave you a little bit of credit because you said on this show that were she to turn things around, this is early in the year, I think we were heading into the French, and we were talking about her career, and you said if she turns things around, which you believed, it would be this tournament. And Sam threw her all manner of flowers earlier in the show, and I said this is the tournament that Karen said it would happen in.
Yeah, because hard court, she won a U.S. Open twice. It's where, hard courts kind of turned her year around. I mean, she made the final of the Canada tournament, which is a hard court, and that's kind of leading in. So, she turned things around, and, hey, she made the semis. I mean, now she's number 14 in the world.
Yep.
So she's back in business, as they say.
Yep. I mean, that was something spectacular to watch there. But I think we saw some tremendous backstories, and I was telling Greg from some people as we came on with I Will Survive, of the song, you think about, her story, Naomi Osaka's story, Taylor Townsend's story, and Anisimova's story, some players who've had to come back from some difficulties to be where they are and be back on top. I think it's remarkable those stories were acted out during this U.S. Open.
It's very true. I mean, Anisimova took some time off. She lost her father a couple of years ago. She was 19 at the time. You don't expect to lose your father as a teenager. And she was going through a little bit of depression and whatnot, and took some time off the tour. So in the beginning of this year, she was, what was she ranked in the 300s? Because she had taken time off. And here she is. Now, as of Monday, she'll be number 4 in the world.
Whoa. That's tremendous. That is tremendous to see that take place at this tournament. Just a remarkable week for you, and now you got one more big match to go coming up later today. Thoughts about this matchup? This is the one that everything's been leading up to.
Yeah, buddy.
And we're going to get to see it today at 2 o'clock, right?
Yeah, buddy.
Yep. From the big three to, I guess, the top two, Sinner Alcaraz. This is going to be something else. I mean, this is the final everybody wanted, and this is the final we're going to get. They've been, back and forth. This is the third straight major final that they're facing each other in the final. And that is a rarity. Because, listen, they're the top two, and everybody's just trying to make some moves up. But good luck to them, because they're, so far ahead of everybody else. Yeah, it's going to be a fun match today, and I totally expect it to go to full five sets. I really do.
Wow.
Really do. Okay.
Do you know, I'm going to impress the both of you right now.
All right.
You know what I was most afraid of in this tournament as it approached the end? That there was going to be a repeat, and I just remember this, 1989, that nobody expected Jimmy Connors to make the run he made. He was past his prime as far as winning singles tournaments, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, he recaptured something, and he was all animated on the court and pumping everybody, and he got America focused back on that tournament that year. I was afraid that Joker was going to do that this tournament, and I'm so glad he didn't.
Oh, no.
But if it was going to happen, he would have been the one to have that happen, right? His age, given his history, and it didn't seem like he's going to get past these two guys there. What's next? But yet he had one more on the big stage in him. And that's what I was afraid was going to happen. But it didn't happen. In fact, he looked really kind of tired going, not just the semis, the quarters and the semis.
In his post-match news conference, when he lost the semifinal match, he admitted that he was gassed and was tired, and you know he was like, yeah, he was tired, he couldn't keep up with them, you know. He admitted it.
Wow.
You know, gave them full props and whatnot, but he admitted he couldn't keep up.
Wow.
I mean, seeing him play, he was trying to, in the third set, he was trying to cut points short. And I'm like, what is he doing? Is he trying to serve in volley? What's going on? But he admitted it. It's like, yeah, but he said, he's going to keep playing. He's going to keep playing. So, you know, you never know.
All right.
You never know. He might still have one more major left in him.
And you can't win it if you don't show up, right? So that's what he's going to do.
That's right.
Give himself a chance.
That's right.
Always great to spend some time with Karen Pesena, Tennis Panorama News. She is social. You can find her at Tennis News TPN, Tennis News TPN. What does it say about the two people we're going to see later today, the fact that they're in the third straight final, and it doesn't matter what surface, Karen. Usually someone is more of a specialist on a certain type of surface, but it doesn't matter if it's clay, if it's grass, or now hard court, these two guys are going to show up.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I guess we live in an age where you have to be good on all the surfaces if you're going to be a top 10 player. You just have to be. You can't just say, oh, I'm a clay court player and I'm only going to deal with this. And you can't do that, not anymore. And, of course, them both being European players, they probably grew up on clay. But there's so many more hard court tournaments that they have no choice but to learn how to play on hard courts. So they're just so well-rounded, it doesn't matter what surface either of them are on.
Who do you see coming up around the corner that is going to penetrate the dominance of these two guys?
Oh, my goodness.
If
they're
not
both
Medvedev,
young. They're both 22 and 24.
Right.
Or 23, rather. They could be having these battles and finals for the next 10 years, for all I know. Coming up around the corner, that's a tough one. Because they're both young. I mean, a couple of years ago, you say, oh, they're coming up around the corner when they're teenagers, but here they are, early 20s, and I don't know. To be quite honest, I don't know.
I think that's a problem as far as the fact that you didn't mention any, not only not mention any players, but you definitely didn't mention any American players. And as I was watching this tournament throughout these last couple of weeks, they couldn't wait to show Andy Roddick and mention that he was the last American to win a major. That's what they have to hang their hat on. And so I just wonder.
Let me tell you, Andy Roddick is sick of him being the last American man to win a major, too. We can't wait until somebody does.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get asked the question anymore.
I mean, it was nice. He was sitting with Tracy Austin. I haven't seen her in forever.
Yep.
But, he's got that hanging on him. And what does that say about the attention, the focus of people in this country, sports fans, that are going to take up tennis as opposed to something else? If we don't have any Americans that are making noise. I mean, Coco's there.
In the top 10, you got two American men in the top 10 now.
Unless you follow the sport, people don't know who they are.
But the fact that they're in the top 10 means they have the opportunities to play these guys. And I think that we watch in the coming year to see Ben Shelton getting more opportunities to be on the court with Alcaraz and Sinner. I think that's the other thing you want to see. get more chances to make it to the quarterfinals and the semifinals, give you more chances to meet these guys, more chances to figure them out and possibly get a win against them. You can't win if you're not on the court with them, you know,
this is true.
Right?
This is true. And as we're looking at the American men, I would put the focus on Shelton because he's young, he's a lefty, he hits with power. You know, him having to retire from his match because of that injury in his left arm, you know, he's young, so I don't know what the results of his tests were, but he's going to be out for at least the next few weeks. So he wants to take care of that arm because he's got potential. I mean, he's in the top 10. He has potential to be number one someday, but let's see if Carlos and Yannick let other people in. Doesn't look likely these next couple of years.
You know, as we say, thank you again, as always, for Karen. She joins us during the fortnight of these major tournaments. Sometimes the Olympics are there, too, and we have her for that, too.
You got to send us a honey deuce? Yeah. We're going to get a honey deuce from you?
You know what? I'm going to see if I can find those honey deuce kits, because somebody sent us, my husband and I, one, and try to send them to you. You probably have to buy the alcohol that goes in them, but the other stuff we probably can be able to find it, and the glasses that go along with it.
All right. Well, this is what I was going to say. I'm wondering if you talked about Ben Shelton. He might have another option, and we've seen him on TV, and I don't know that he may decide at some point. Maybe I'm going to pull a Patrick McEnroe. And I played the sport. People know who I am, and they respect my game. But I'm going to be the guy who replaces John McEnroe in the booth and be there for the next 10, 15, 20 years. Right? A young player, just like these two champions we're talking about with Sinner and Alcaraz. Mm-hmm. And what if Ben Shelton decides, you know what, I'm not going to try to fight to be number one. I can have a longer career talking about this sport. Everybody in the sport respects me, and we can get rid of that other dude who's been there for 150 years. What do you think of that idea?
I don't think Shelton's going to give up on being on the court anytime soon.
But he would be a great replacement, though. He would be a great replacement, though, right? He'd be there for the next.
We got a guy here in town stepping in there. We got Chris Eubanks doing that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Chris is all over. You know, he's all over the place with the commentary. You know, not just American broadcast commentary, but he's also been doing it for other places too. Right. So, I mean, other countries' outlets. So people love him.
I'm just trying to help him out. Just trying to be a manager. You know, see what I can do for him. Karen, listen. Enjoy the rest of your day and life up there in New York. And thank you as always for joining us. And listen, we got to wait till January to talk to her when the Australian happens.
Maybe not. Maybe
all right,
not.
Yeah, we can talk to you before then, right?
Yeah.
Have something happen.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Have something happen in your world where we need to talk to you. But anyway, Karen Pastina.
All right.
Tennis Panorama. Thank you as always, Karen.
Thanks. Have a good Sunday, guys.
There you go. Sometimes, you know, you got to think about long term. Maybe. Anyway, it is Sam and Greg. Coming up next, we're going to let you know about some money flying through the air, and Noel's going to tell you what's going on in her mind. It's Noel's World. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 7th day of September. We are the opening act for what? This is what people wait for. What's that old joke about there's two seasons in American sports? There's football season and waiting for football season?
Is that what it is?
Something like that. That was an old joke like that. So we are here. We here. Yeah, you had Thursday. You had Friday. But today is the day. You got to do thumb exercises. And by the way, they moved around that red zone channel too.
Yeah, they did.
So
yeah,
you
can,
I mean, you got to get new batteries in there today. And this would be a perfect time for me to remind grocery store managers to make sure that you have your chicken out.
Yeah.
Your boxed chicken, your fried chicken, whether it's breaded or non-breaded, just have it out.
Just
ready
have
for
it
folks
ready. Just
to
have
come
it ready.
Grab.
Yep.
I ran into this the first day of college football, and the stores I went to did not have managers that were sports fans. I don't know what they were thinking. But today, please have them out there. A lot of folks can come in there looking nice. Did you ever do that, like leave church early to get to kick? Well, since before you were in the business.
Well, in the business. In the before business, you that's a different thing. Nah, not really.
No?
You know, but you know, yeah, when you work and it's on games on Sundays, that changes some
things. That never happened, though, back in the day. I don't think that's – I think that's a product of something that happened, started maybe back in the 90s. Because back in – Reverend Sykes never cut his short. And well, first Sundays
– Maybe he wasn't that big of a fan.
He liked football. He was always at Proviso East games. He's out there watching Doc Rivers play basketball.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it just wasn't a thing.
You're right.
Until TV really got involved and you saw how much money was involved in all that. So this day
it permeated the culture a bit more than that. You know, it's into the culture much more. Even people who are not hardcore fans follow some phase of it,
mm-hmm.
be it fantasy football or be something. You know, there are people who follow it who may not even be
sitting in church right now, man, making bets on their phone.
We hope they're not doing that.
We can hope, but we know that ain't the case.
Yeah, we hope they're not doing that. Now, I'm not recommending that to anybody.
Oh, we're not recommending it. No, yeah. We're just saying this is what this sort of this sport does to people.
They can do that before they go in or after they come out, especially if you go into the early. Because a lot of people in the service now. They go at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. So that's, you know.
Sunday school, regular service. You had BTU. This is first Sundays.
Yeah.
In Second Baptist Church. I was there all day long.
Well, yeah.
It was a big day today back then on first Sunday. So anyway, we are here, though. We are talking football. We're really going to do a deep dive into it. We're going to talk to Kyle Berger coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, who down there in Tampa.
Yep.
Got some thoughts on not only his team, but what are they saying down there about the Falcons, Michael Penix, and what they have in store for them. But put a casting call out. Noelle's got some things that she wants to get off her chest. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to drive you guys to 929thegame.com/castingcall or get cast with Greg on X. I just threw the breakdowns out there again, and there are some job opportunities, everything from a country band. If you could be a country musician right now, mm-hmm. like you could say, I want to sing like that dude and play like that dude in the world of country music, who would it be if you had to pick somebody? I'm picking Chris Stapleton.
That's a good one.
That's who I'm picking.
That's a real good one.
When I heard him tear up Phil Collins in the air, I mean, not in the air tonight. Yeah. When I heard him tear that up for Monday Night Football,
If I could sing like one he's no longer with us, it would be Toby Keith.
You did have a thing for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to meet him in Broken Bridges, so rest in peace, Toby. But anyway, there's a need this week. Extras cast in Atlanta for a new project. They need a full-blown country band and musicians.
Okay.
Play guitar, bass, drums.
We got them around here.
Banjo players, males and females.
They're in the right place.
So there you go. You'll see that under Extras Casting Atlanta. Casting Taylor Made got two projects. Heather's doing a movie called Funny Feelings, various roles for that. But she's doing a project, Sam. She's finishing up a movie called Cape. And they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nine, I should have counted these ahead of time. 9 needs for this week, which I have broken down. Everything from real medical examiners and CSI folks to moms with strollers, joggers, guys with bikes, and dogs. So you'll see that all there. Hilton Casting doing Scary Movie. Capital M, small O.
Okay.
Capital V, capital I, small E. That's how they did it.
Okay.
All right. There's a number of needs, everything from college students to kids and news reporters, FBI detectives. So you'll see the list there. Again, get cast with Greg on X and 929thegame.com/castingcall. If you got any questions about any of this stuff, it's greg.clarksonodyssey.com. Shoot me an email and I will respond. And I will tell you again next Thursday, which is September 11th, starts season 2 of Tyler Perry's Beauty in Black.
Uh-huh.
So check it out. Check it out. That's all I got. I got more, but I'm going to give the rest of this one to Noelle. She wants to come on and talk about what is on her mind. I know she's doing something right now. She's getting it together so she can come join us. And you know what we're waiting on.
Here it comes.
Good morning.
All right now. There we go. On a game day, right?
Game day. Ready to rock. And Greg must have known I've been thinking about going down to Locust Grove to go to the the Levi's outlet to buy a new jean jacket. But shout out to Locust Grove.
Why jean jackets in Locust Grove?
Because that's where the outlet is, Greg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is what is in Locust Grove. That's why people who don't live in Locust Grove go to Locust Grove to buy things on sale.
You do know where those spots are.
Of yes, course I do.
Shoes and between her and Greg Street.
They find something. You know,
man.
When she goes and finds her, Greg, they just send them to him.
Oh, that's the way you want it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to get on Greg's level. That's exactly how I want it.
All right, so listen, it's been one of those weeks as we prepare for, obviously, kickoff today. But there's been some other movement in some other sports, and I thought of you a couple times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
you want to hear one?
Yeah.
All right, the impact of Caitlin being gone for the season, that announcement.
Well, I told y'all that was going to happen. They just waited forever to announce
it.
I told
y'all
that 3 weeks ago. Okay. She wasn't coming back.
Well, you should have told us to put a bet down on it.
I mean, the team, they got an all-injured team over there themselves
Indiana. They really
That's
so there
why.
Was absolutely no point for her to come back.
Kind of like Austin Riley, correct?
Exactly like Austin Riley.
There you go.
Or even before Austin went down, they was like, yeah, we're going to massage Ronald. That doesn't mean he's done for the season. And I'm like, hey, come on. Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
And even though Ronald did come back, it's like he came back because he wanted to. Like, there's nothing to.
John Morant gave him them shoes.
Well, I wanted to see it. And I did want to see some bombs and some grenades thrown, but like, grand scheme of things, did we need that or Ronald Acuna in 2026? That's all I'm saying. And so that is the decision that the Fever have made. Angel was in and out, kind of like coming in for matchups she thought was important in resting on the other end, but same situation in Chicago. Angel hasn't really been super, super healthy.
I was just going to say, you're burying the lead, though, when you talk about Angel now from this past week.
And, you mean the article in
the suspension.
I was going to bring that up in the whole Sky Fever matchup situation because neither one of them were going to play in the game because one is injured and the other is suspended. So that I don't think either one of them has played in any of those games all season long. So can we not do that again, WNBA? It'd be so awesome if we just didn't do that again. If we had a more, put all the names in a jar and shake them up, if you will. But let's not do that again as far as primetime games.
You know what she sounds like? When we were coming up, you sound like Skip Carey. Rest in peace. Skip used to always rail at ESPN putting the Yankees and the Red Sox on. They got other teams in baseball.
That's exactly me. That's exactly how I feel about it. That's exactly me.
You know, there's other teams out there.
I'm going to shake my fist at ESPN and their graphics department.
Oh, my.
What happened?
Yikes. They mixed up the grays when they listed their points leaders of the year. Alicia Gray should have been number 7. But somehow they had Chelsea Gray from the Los Angeles Aces.
Ooh.
I mean, the Las Vegas Aces. Yep. And that is why I do not cheer for front-running teams. I don't care what city they're in. I don't care what sport it is. I cannot do it. This is why I can't do it. The Atlanta erasure is real, everybody. They tried to play your girl, Alicia Gray, and y'all need to let Amazon know that that was not okay. Alicia Gray was mad enough to tweet about it.
Ooh.
Angry. Yeah, that's how I caught it, because Alicia caught it.
Okay.
She tweeted it, posted it up. That's not my name, and shut Twitter down. She said, I'm out. Done. I'm an MVP candidate, and this is how y'all do me. And that's how they do in Atlanta, which is why I'm telling y'all, Atlanta, make the noise. Y'all set the tone. Let the people know that we are real contenders. This is a real city. This is for real basketball, and we got a real MVP contender. And they took their chain back, y'all. They're number 2 in the standings again.
There we go. How about that?
Two more games to go. One tomorrow night, one Wednesday night, both against the Connecticut Sun, and then we are playoff bound. Buy some tickets.
Yep.
Fill it up.
Now, you want to fill us in on something now that you believe will happen 2-3 weeks from now like you just did with the other stuff? I told y'all that 3 weeks ago. Well, if I'd have known that, I'd have put some money down.
I mean, I don't be looking at the bettings and odds and all
that. No, I know that,
but I
mean other things on so much on the periphery, but within these, like you would see matchup issues before they actually played because of the way you follow the game.
True.
So when so-and-so plays so-and-so, forget what they did before. They got to go up against and then fill in the blank, and then that's what you do. So that's what I'm curious about as you approach the playoffs. Who are you looking for that may make some noise because they're just a matchup nightmare for the perennial leaders?
I think the Valkyrie are a problem just because they're new here and they don't know any better.
Right.
They're a franchise team that is outpacing the league in every sense of the word, from money into what an expansion team should be able to do in their rookie season. They're a problem, in my opinion, because they just don't know any better to not be afraid of the moment.
We hear that put in different ways. They're too stupid to know they don't belong.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know,
you're not supposed to be doing that.
Yeah, like they're just not afraid. But something else that I've said, people have seen me say on Twitter a bunch this season, and it's coming to a head. I felt like the Dream and the Fever were on a collision course, and two will meet seven. So if the Fever stays sitting at seven, that will be your first round matchup for the Atlanta Dream. Now, it will be, like I said, the all NBA injured Fever.
Yeah, really.
But you know, any given tip off, right? So we will see how that works out. But Ryan Howard went absolutely insane the other night, rounding into perfect form for the playoffs.
Right.
Y'all already know what Alicia can do. Y'all know what Jordan Canada can do. Y'all know what Nas Hillman has brought to the game. Let's go and do that in the playoffs.
There you go. And in a related story, Atlanta showed up again on a national stage as far as our basketball team. Trae Young was a guest picker yesterday.
I waited 2 hours to see Trae Young. I'm like, is he ever going to come on this TV?
I sent her the thing, like, as soon as I saw it on game day, and I said, Noelle needs to know this because she's busy. She's doing all kinds of other stuff.
Oh, no, I had game day on the TV right in here. I was waiting on Trae for 2 hours just looking up. I'm watching college football game time. I'm like, too bad we on opposite sides because, you know, I had my blue maze on yesterday.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Somebody else did, too.
No, he's Oklahoma Gap. Plus, he's got a job out there.
Explain that to me. Like, I know Andrew Luck is the, for lack of a better way to put it, general manager at Stanford.
Yes.
But what is Trae's title with Oklahoma?
General manager.
But he's not there full-time, like, out recruiting. Obviously, he can't do that year-round.
Mm-hmm. But you still got his name, though. You can still use it.
Is he, like, a closer? Is he kind of like, you know, Saban, where there's other people doing the actual job, and then they call Trae in, and he just shows up at the folks' house and gets that recruit?
I mean, probably. And it's not just him. Like, Terrence Mann is the GM for his school. I forget what school he went to, but Terrence Mann is a GM for his school. And it's a new thing.
They got to have him. I understand that.
Yeah, that's becoming a thing. And they're gravitating towards the current. And to your point, I do think it is recruitment-based. But I was looking to see if he was going to have on a pair of Oklahoma Sooner Jordan PEs on. He went with the cement fours. Those are cool too. But I was looking for something burgundy going on down there on the foot tip. But he went with something, you know, a little plain. The GR is cool too. He looked good. He looked like $1 million either way.
He did look like brand new.
Look ready
money.
For the season.
There you go.
All right, we've had the fun with other things around the sports world, but it is time to focus, laser focus on the NFL. We are here as the opening act for the first Sunday in the NFL season. We got the Wade Ford Tailgate Show coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, and we're gonna get you set up next. Gonna talk to Kyle Berger, he's down in Tampa, and Sam and I are going to go around the league, of course, talking about our Falcons. Up next, Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.